Hey Rocketeers, this is the second season of Camp Dino. If you haven't listened to the first season yet, I strongly recommend you go back and listen to it before starting the season to avoid any spoilers. You've been warned. The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Camp Dino and the Spring of Ancients. Okay, this is good, Beau shouted, making his mom screech the car to a stop in front of the airport. Cars around them honked and swerved. Beau's mom looked at him, confused. Jeez, Beau, I thought you said last year's dino camp was boring. Just a bunch of childish fake fossil digs and lame classes? Beau fumbled for his bag. Oh, yeah, super lame and crazy boring. I'm gonna fall asleep just thinking about it. But hey, it's Brazil, and it beats sitting home all summer. His mom scrunched her face. We're going to Disneyland and then the beach. Beau thought for a second. I hate crowds and getting sand in my swimsuit. Bye, Mom. Love you. He gave his mom a hug and jumped out. You forgot your lunch, his mom called after him. I packed gummy snacks. Beau came running back over. Gummy snacks, Mom? Really? Not free. He snatched the bag and peeked inside. Dino gummies? His mom smiled. Your favorite. Beau discreetly tucked the lunch bag into his oversized backpack. I'll take them, just in case. And thanks for the apple. Fuji, good choice. Okay, bye. Have fun. Beau couldn't get through security fast enough. Ever since last summer, all he could think about was returning to Camp Dino. He wondered how his friends Zeta and Gavin were doing. His mom made him write them a couple letters during the year as part of his homeschool classes. But other than that, he'd been terrible at staying in touch. Would they be annoyed with him for not calling? He wondered. Were they going to look different? He was disappointed with how little he'd changed since last year. He was still as scrawny as ever, and he had the same buzzed haircut. Maybe he should have buzzed a cool lightning bolt into the side. He had gotten some new polo shirts to tuck into his cargo shorts, and a green one for camp. But that was about it. Beau imagined himself parading through the Camp Dino gate, galloping atop his best friend in the whole world. His little T-Rex, Buck. Oh, how he'd missed Buck. He didn't miss how much trouble that little dino had gotten him into, or cleaning up after his messes, but Beau dearly missed having him as a constant, loyal companion by his side. He and Buck had been through a lot together. They were like family. Beau wouldn't be surprised if the rambunctious little T-Rex was waiting for him in front of the gate at that very moment, wagging his tail with anticipation. Buck, Gavin, and Zeta weren't the only things Beau had missed about Camp Dino. He'd even found himself missing the camp counselors. Well, most of them, anyway. He wondered what kind of cool classes they'd have this summer. Now that it was his second year, would he and Buck be given more freedom to explore? Or would they tighten restrictions after last year's run-in with the Bakuza tribe? Beau hadn't thought much about them. The jungle natives were no doubt still figuring out how to coexist with Camp Dino. Hopefully, relations between the two groups had continued to improve while he was away. Beau's imagination was obviously gearing up for camp. Anything and everything reminded him of it. He stared out the airplane window and imagined the plane coming alive and flapping its wings like a pteranodon. He imagined the pull-down tray in front of him was a tray full of Sloppy Joe's food, and the circular windows of the plane were the porthole windows of the shipwrecked galley cafeteria. He imagined the two snoring men sitting on either side of him were the massive legs of a long-necked brontosaurus, rumbling with every step. He even did a little shadow puppet show for himself on the wall, pretending his hand was a T-Rex.
"Please stop that,"
the man sitting next to him said, before returning to his loud slumber. Bo made his T-Rex shadow puppet bite the sleeping man's shadow before dropping it. He kept checking the progress of the flight on the little screen in front of him. My word, could this thing go any faster? Finally, after several long hours, they landed. Bo grabbed his backpack and ran off the plane. The Portuguese signs and welcome to Brazil posters in the airport were a welcome sight. It didn't matter that he couldn't understand a word anyone was saying around him. His heart was pounding, he was so excited. He burst through the exit doors and looked over the crowd of people at the curb for any sign of Kirby, the camp janitor. To his dismay, there were no signs of a long-haired, tatted biker anywhere. No gruff voice saying, "Hey, kid!" Disappointed, Bo sat down on the bench and waited. He pulled his fedora hat out of his backpack and ran his hand along the arrowheads that wrapped around the crown. Then he put it on and checked out his reflection in the tinted window next to him. "That's right," he said to himself. "I'm back. Have you met my friend Buck?" "Yeah, I know. The only T-Rex in camp. Don't worry, he won't eat you. I've got him totally under control." He winked at his reflection and then noticed the Brazilian gentleman on the other side of the window looking back at him like he was crazy. Bo cleared his throat and turned back around. Just then, he heard the familiar sound of a motorcycle pulling up to the curb. "Kirby!" He jumped up and ran over. "Gavin?" He skidded to a stop. Gavin, a boy not much older than Bo, whipped his long, dark bangs out of his face.
"Hey."
Gavin was wearing his usual denim vest over a Metallica t-shirt. A couple of big knives were sheathed at his sides, and his jeans were pocketed with holes. Bo couldn't detect even the slightest hint of excitement through Gavin's sunglasses. Bo held out his arms. "Did you miss me?" Gavin just stared at him.
"Sure."
Bo lowered his outstretched arms.
"I missed you too. I told my parents a lot about you and Zeta. I told them all about your survival skills and poop-throwing prowess. Obviously, I left out the details of the poop being from a dinosaur, but..."
"Good on," Gavin interrupted. "Oh, right." Bo hopped onto the motorcycle behind Gavin.
"Are you old enough to drive this thing? Where's Kirby?"
"He forgot to come. Was busy doing other stuff."
Gavin revved the motorcycle's engine.
"How thoughtful. Helmet?"
Gavin finally smiled.
"Whoops."
Bo's smile faded.
"Great. An underage driver and no helmets. What could possibly go wrong?"
He pulled his backpack over his head and tied it around his chin.
"Let's do it."
Gavin popped a wheelie as they sped off down the road. Bo didn't get much out of Gavin on the ride over. Mostly just a bunch of no's and yes. Camp Dino was Gavin's official home now, and apparently he'd taken over a lot of Kirby's duties, keeping everything tidy and patrolling the grounds to make sure nobody was doing anything stupid. It took Bo probably 2 hours to get Gavin to tell him that much. He'd forgotten how difficult it was to get whole sentences out of Gavin. You were lucky if you got more than a few grunts. They weaved through colorful pastel villages that gradually turned into jungle, thick with trees and wildlife. Bo marveled at the colorful birds overhead and the squawking monkeys up in the trees. Even the huge green python slithering around a branch didn't bother him so much. He just couldn't believe he was back. He'd been gone long enough that last year's camp had started to feel like a dream. He knew they were getting close when the humidity of the jungle got so dense that it started making his clothes stick to him. The tree canopies closed in and the trunks grew thicker. A chorus of insects, howls, and other jungle sounds filled the air. Felt like they were traveling back in time, millions of years. Gavin suddenly steered the bike off the path and headed towards a cave up ahead.
Where are you going? Bo asked nervously.
That road back there leads to camp.
Ferns whipped at their arms as they zipped along the uncleared trail.
Shortcut, Gavin said simply.
Shortcut? No shortcuts! Long cut! Long cut!
Too late. They flew into the cave, and Bo squealed like a spider monkey the whole way through it. When they popped out the other end, a huge yellow snake was wrapped around his neck, and a few bats were flapping around his head.
Yeah!
Gavin revved the engine and smiled. Welcome back. They sped down the rugged trail, bouncing over roots, winding through ravines, dodging sand pits, and cruising through more dark caves. By the time they turned back onto the main road, Bo was covered in bat dung and had red marks on his cheeks from all the branches that had whacked him in the face. Gavin emerged unscathed, of course, looking cooler than ever. Up ahead, the Camp Dino entrance slowly came into view. Bo got butterflies. The towering gate was made of T-Rex and Triceratops bones, and its two stone pillars were topped with fireballs. Gavin patted his pockets as they approached.
Hand me something,
he said, holding out his hand.
What do you mean?
Bo asked.
Quick, something from the bag.
Bo quickly pulled out the apple from his lunch bag and handed it to him. Gavin turned it over in his hand.
Perfect.
He wound up and threw the apple at a little metal windmill poking up out of the ground in front of one of the pillars.
Clack!
The windmill spun and the gate opened.
I was going to eat that,
Bo whined as they drove through. Monkeys jumped up onto the swinging gate and rode its opening doors. A herd of wiry little Compsognathus sprang out of the bushes to fight over the apple. Bo shook Gavin's shoulders excitedly when Camp Dino came into view.
I'm back! Oh, I'm back!
Let go of me!
Gavin said, shrugging Bo's hands off of him. Bo gazed out at the camp as if he were seeing it for the first time. There were kids and dinosaurs everywhere. Kids were running along the rope bridges connecting the giant trees. A pterodactyl was rummaging through one of the tree pieces perched atop a high branch, looking for a snack. A group of girls was climbing the long neck of a brachiosaurus to the top of the shipwrecked cafeteria. A few kids were splashing around in the chute with their dinos. They floated leisurely along the creek that snaked through camp. Bo gawked at the several adult dinos that were mingling with their babies. An adult Spinosaurus pulled its baby out of a mud pit by the tail, and a Pachycephalosaurus adult showed its baby how to ram trees with its hard head. They rammed a tree together, and one of the kids fell out of his treepie. Lucky for him, a pterodactyl swooped in and caught him.
Whoa!
Gavin brought the motorcycle to a stop in front of the shipwrecked cafeteria.
Opening feast will be here in the galley. Grab some grub and then head to the gathering hut.
Bo looked around.
Have you seen Buck?
Nope.
What about Zeta?
She's here. Probably climbing something.
Bo nodded.
Probably. Thanks for picking me up.
You got it. See you at orientation.
He revved the engine and rode off, leaving Bo coughing in his dust.
You owe me an apple,
Bo called after him. Pulling his backpack straps tight and fixing his fedora, he marched into the galley through the torpedo hole in the side of the metal ship. Inside, the tables were covered with incredible food. The Camp Dino welcome feast. Sloppy Joe, the camp cook, pleasantly plump and wearing a stained dino-printed apron, was walking up and down the rows of tables, pointing out her creations in her sing-song voice as if she were on her own cooking show.
We have fossil cookie banana pudding, Bakuza mask pineapple teriyaki chicken, Stegosaurus tacos, fat monkey eating ice cream, fat monkey eating ice cream. Tuku, get out of here!
Tuku, the chubby, conniving monkey, was diving headfirst into the tropical ice cream. Sloppy Joe spanked his behind with her spatula.
No!
Tuku's black and white furry face glared at her, covered in fruity ice cream. He howled and jumped up onto a vine growing down the wall. Bo held on tight to his backpack. He knew all too well how quickly Tuku could steal things. He looked around the cafeteria. Kids sat at tables with their dinosaurs, scarfing down the endless plates of delicious, impeccably presented food. Around them, the vines crawling up the rusty walls were flowering. Blossoms of pink, blue, and yellow dotted the room. Excited chatter echoed through the spacious, hollowed-out ship, all the way up to the navigation room. A dark-skinned girl with black braided hair was sitting up in the captain's chair, messing with the steering wheel and peering out the panoramic windows. Looking up at her made Bo's stomach squirm. One wrong move and she would fall to the tables below. He squinted to get a better look.
Zeta?
Zeta! Bo called up to her. Zeta looked down at him.
Bo!
She leaped from the captain's chair and grabbed onto a vine high up on the wall. Bo cringed and looked away. He couldn't watch as she climbed down and landed next to him. Back up by the navigation room, the group of girls who had climbed up the Brachiosaurus neck outside peered down into the galley, horrified.
How'd she do that?
One of them whispered.
Our dinosaur left and we're stuck, said another girl. Hello?
Zeta rolled her eyes.
Amateurs.
She gave Bo a hug.
Oh, I missed you.
I missed you too.
Bo was happy to see Zeta hadn't changed a bit. She wore the same old camouflage pants and t-shirt. Bo glanced around.
Where are the triplets?
Zeta nodded to a nearby table.
See that bench those kids are sitting on?
Yeah? That's not a bench. Bo took a closer look and saw that several kids were sitting atop Zeta's three triceratopses, who were passed out and covered in food. The kids moved up and down with every deep breath from the triplets. They were the first ones to dinner, Zeta explained. Big surprise. They almost put Joe out of business, but they finally passed out from eating so much. I couldn't move them, so people started using them as a bench. Bo shook his head.
How could you move them? They're huge. They're each the size of a cow.
They smell it, too. Toot's gas almost cleared the place an hour ago. It did get me to the front of the line for the pterodactyl tarts. Bo laughed. It was exciting seeing the triplets again. Just last year, they were barely to his knees. He remembered Scoot, the chubby green triceratops, lounging around lazily while her brothers, Shoot, the rambunctious orange one, and Toot, the stinky brown one, were always causing Zeta trouble. From the looks of it, very little had changed. A girl who wasn't paying attention tried to sit down on the Triceratops bench, but shot up with a yow when a horn poked her bottom. Scoot just snorted and went back to snoring.
Have you seen Buck?
Bo asked.
You know?
Zeta looked around.
I haven't seen him once, and I've been here since this morning. Want me to help you look for him? That'd be great.
They headed outside.
Buck?
Bo called as they walked.
Here, boy.
Maybe he's busy hanging out with his mom, Zeta suggested. A lot of the younger dinos are now.
Yeah, right. If he sees that camp started back up, he'll know I'm here and come running.
Zeta didn't look so sure. They searched around the gathering hut, a giant canvas dome covered in cave paintings and handprints. They checked the chute, the Tree of Knowledge, and Dr. Rex's boneyard. Nothing. They walked by the sleep trees and saw Kirby balancing on one of the highest branches next to his tree yurt.
Hey, Kirby,
Zeta called up to him.
Whoa, whoa.
Kirby almost lost his balance. Oh, hey, Bo, Zeta, welcome back.
Kirby, with his long dark hair, tank top, and assortment of tattoos, usually looked tough and fearless. But not now. It looked like he was about to squeal as badly as Bo when he and Gavin rode through the caves.
What are you doing up there? Bo asked.
Just trying to get used to heights. I'm a sub this year, and Dr. Skies asked me to sub her class in the nest. Don't know how I'm going to teach you kids to relax in the nest when I'm about to pee my pants standing up here.
Bo fell for the guy, but he was also secretly kind of glad to see he wasn't the only one who hated heights.
Don't worry, Zeta said. You got this. Just take deep breaths and pretend you're a monkey. Monkeys never fall. That's what I do.
A monkey, Kirby said to himself. I can do that.
Bo thought he heard him making chirping monkey noises.
Ooh, 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 ah, ah, ee, 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 ooh, 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 ooh.
Have you seen Buck? Bo asked.
I haven't seen him in weeks. His mom was here a couple days ago. She about stomped on Lovkin's classroom.
Bo looked disappointed.
She missed it?
By inches. Sent that nasty pig Cutie Pie into a fit, though. Lovkin's been cursing the big dinos ever since. Having the biggies around has been an adjustment for everybody.
Bo glanced at an adult ankylosaurus that was using its ball-tipped tail to smash the sign marking the yellow sleep tree.
I'd say. Let me know if you see him.
Will do.
The search continued for the rest of the day. While most of the second-year campers were busy reuniting and playing with their dinos, Bo was left wandering camp, looking for any sign of his T-Rex, which was usually any trace of destruction or bite marks. To his surprise, he found none. A few times his imagination got the best of him, and a stack of boulders or a weirdly shaped flower bush would look like Buck. He'd jump with excitement, only to find himself embracing an inanimate object. Zeta eventually gave up and went back to go check on her triplets.
I'll save a spot for you at orientation, she said before leaving.
The sun was starting to set, and Bo was feeling helpless. He wandered so far that he reached Boom's watchtower. The huge, bald Brazilian security guard was patrolling the area and didn't appreciate seeing Bo so far from camp.
Already trying to run away, the man's voice boomed.
Bo eyed the two ammo belts and the collection of knives and grenades that covered the man's huge chest.
No, I was just...
turning around and going back?
Yep.
The giant of a man gave him a stern look and waited for Bo to go back the way he'd come. Bo turned to leave and stopped. Over the trees, beyond the watchtower, a geyser of steam billowed up into the air, sending birds squawking. A deep hissing noise sounded through the trees like a giant trying to get you to smell its breath. It didn't smell good.
Boom, did you?
He turned to see if the camp guard had noticed, but Boom was already a ways off patrolling. Bo looked back at the strange grayish-yellow pillar of steam in time to see it drop back down into the trees.
Well, that was weird.
Bo shook it off. You'd think he'd be used to seeing strange stuff at camp by now. As he headed back down the trail, he could see the glow of camp hovering above the trees up ahead. Overhead, a vast blanket of stars twinkled in the night sky. Bo had forgotten how many stars you could see at Camp Dino. It was breathtaking. The Milky Way's cloudy belt stretched across the starscape, and not far from it was a familiar constellation they'd learned about last summer, Gallifar the Great. Bright pricks of light formed the shape of a T-Rex. Bo thought about what it symbolized: power, bravery, and an energy that filled all creatures with life and purpose. It made him think of Buck, and how lost Bo was before he'd met his little T-Rex. No friends, no confidence. Buck had given him greater purpose and had filled him with an excitement for life. He'd missed that connection ever since he left camp last year. missing his dino dearly, Bo dragged his feet back to camp. At the center of camp, the huge gathering hut was glowing orange, and around it, lights of all kinds flickered in the shadows. Different colored lanterns hung from the various sleep trees, yellow, red, green, and blue. Fireflies sparkled in the darkness between trees. A little gallimimus was jumping up and down, trying to catch them. Frogs and insects glowed green and blue in the nearby stream, making it shimmer like liquid lightning. Zeta's triplets were drinking out of it and gobbling down a few frogs for an evening snack. Bo gave them a pat as he passed, and then headed into the gathering hut. He was late. Kids and small dinos already filled the benches that wrapped around the large domed room. In the middle was a large crackling bonfire. Ma and Pa were standing in front of it and addressing the campers. He'd just walked in as they finished introducing themselves and going over the camp rules. Pa, an older gentleman with gray curly hair, dressed in his token green suspenders and bow tie, winked at Bo. His wife, Ma, a beautiful older woman with long, wavy hair, who was wearing a lacy dress that looked like something from a century ago, gave him a sweet wave. Bo awkwardly waved back and tried to avoid the glances from the other kids now looking at him. He saw Zeta waving him over. Keeping his head low, he marched over and sat down next to her. Gavin sat on the other side of her. Luckily, Ma and Pa continued before too much attention could be focused on him. "What took you so long?" Zeta whispered. "I thought you'd maybe been gobbled up by one of the big dinos." "I was still looking for Buck. I can't find him anywhere." A hand raised behind him. Pa pointed to the blonde, spiky-haired kid who was sitting with a velociraptor.
Yes, Ash. I'm having a hard time hearing you over Bo and Zeta's rude chatter. Could you please speak up?
Ash's meathead friends, the carnivores, chuckled. Bo turned beet red. Another year of this, he thought.
Let's keep the chatter down,
Pa said, before continuing with what he was saying. Bo saw the counselors sitting on the front benches. He was glad to see most of the counselors from last year were back. Dr. Rex, Dr. Helga Bronson, Dr. Dot, Sloppy Joe, Dr. Lovkin, Kirby, and there were a couple more counselors he hadn't met yet. A black woman with red braids, a green and yellow striped shirt, and a red plaid skirt. She was sitting next to a very small man in a purple suit with frizzy white hair and a big mustache. The man looked like a kid dressed up like Albert Einstein for Halloween. A minute later, Ma introduced them.
"We'd like to welcome Dr. Tweetle to camp this year. She will be our new music teacher. She has joined us from a post in Jamaica and comes highly recommended from Boom."
The woman turned and waved to the kids.
"And of course, Dr. Arnold Dribble, our IT and tech specialist, is back this year. Dr. Dribble was with us only a few days last year before having to go on medical leave. We're glad to have you back, Arnold."
"Good to be back," said the man, waving to the group with a robotic arm.
Some of the kids gasped.
"Whoa," Bo breathed. "He's a cyborg."
"Cool," Zeta said.
"I wonder if he'd let me arm wrestle him."
"Probably not," Gavin told her.
"How'd you know?"
"Already tried."
Pa hushed the kids.
Now, quiet down. Before we have our first year campers get their eggs and sleep tree assignments, I want to turn the time over to Dr. Lovkin for a very important safety tip that could save your life. So listen up. Dr. Lovkin?"
Dr. Lovkin, looking as hairy and caveman-like as ever, stepped up to the fire and faced the kids.
"Now I'm going to slap a bow with a stick and a fire to the boom. Gotta watch you with a little foosh. Then you want to lick it about of the wing or the bing-bong or the widow has to wick.
After a few more grunts, he laughed while everyone just stared at him. Kiara, the only girl who could understand him, nodded with interest and said,
"Hmm."
Lovkin took a seat and patted his nasty hairy pig at his feet.
"Cutie pie."
The pig snorted happily.
Very insightful, Dr. Lufkin, thank you, Pa said, stepping back up to the fire. All I wanted to add was this. I want this year to be our safest year yet. I know we had some minor hiccups last year, and we're now around more adult dinos. But as long as we stay within the camp boundaries and interact with our scaly friends as instructed, and with tremendous respect, we will be fine. Since we are still enforcing the no-phone policy, Dr. Dribble has been kind enough to equip us with emergency bracelets. Pa held up a little bead bracelet. If you ever feel in danger, just press this red bead and it will send a signal to us counselors. He demonstrated by pressing the red bead and it started blinking red. An alarm sounded on a little device worn by the counselors who promptly hushed it. We will then be able to find you using Dr. Dribble's tracking system. As you all know, I like to keep technology to an absolute minimum here at camp. The absence of modern distractions is part of what makes Camp Dino so special. Not to mention the unstudied effects technology may have on the dinosaurs. Which is why I want to stress the importance of only using this bracelet in the event of a real emergency. A girl in the back raised her hand. Yes, you there.
If I have an allergic reaction to gluten, dairy, nuts, salt water, carbonated water, or meat products and swell up, can I press it?
Pa slowly looked at Sloppy Joe.
Did you catch all that?
Joe gave a weary smile and nodded.
Yes, Pa answered. That would definitely meet the definition of an emergency.
Bo raised his hand.
What if we feel like we're in physical danger from other campers?
Most certainly. Bo turned and bounced his eyebrows at Ash, who glared back at him.
What if my dinosaur bites off my foot?
One kid asked.
Well, what do you think?
Pa said, getting annoyed.
Yes?
Correct.
What if it just bites off a toe?
Really? Listen, kids, if your heart is racing and you genuinely fear for your safety, press the red bead. But we only have so many counselors to run to your rescue, so think before you press.
The counselors passed around bamboo buckets full of bracelets and each kid took one. Bo put his on and looked it over. Each bead looked to be made of wood and had an image of a dinosaur burned into it. The red bead had an image of a gaping fanged mouth. One kid accidentally pressed his red bead after trying to smack a mosquito on his forehead. Whack! The little devices on the counselor's waist blinked and an alarm wailed.
Oops, sorry.
The boy shriveled into his seat while the annoyed counselor shut off the alarm.
Okay, dinomites, that's all we've got, Pa said. We'll now invite the first-year campers to line up and get your dino egg from Dr. Rex at the door, while the rest of you grab a late-night treat from Joe. I believe we've got chocolate vanilla crepes this evening. Is that right, Joe?
Joe sprang out of her seat and hopped on a cart that rolled in front of the group.
I ran out of crepes, so they are dessert pancakes with chocolate chips, Nutella, marshmallow spread, and whipped cream.
She needn't say more. Everyone shot up and practically trampled each other on their way to the cart. Bo stared at the dessert cart.
Pancakes, he said under his breath.
One of the kids bumped into the cart, making a few pancakes fall into the bonfire and sending the sweet aroma up in a trail of smoke, out the hole in the ceiling and into the night. Zeta was talking Bo's ear off about how her day went with her triplets, but Bo was having a hard time paying attention. He stared at the sack of pancakes and thought of all the times he'd thrown them to his little T-Rex. Pancakes were Buck's favorite snack.
And that's how all three of them died, Zeta finished.
Wait, what?
Bo finally snapped out of it.
See, I knew you weren't paying attention. Even the dung bomber here has said more since we got in line.
She nodded to Gavin.
It's true, Gavin shrugged.
Sorry, guys, it's just that...
Bo froze. A dark shadow was growing on the far canvas wall. No one else noticed it. It grew and grew until it was several feet tall. Gradually, kids and counselors turned to look at it. The dark shape on the canvas looked familiar, but it was far too big to be. Could it be? Suddenly, the canvas tore. In stepped a red T-Rex with yellow stripes. Bo's jaw dropped.
Buck?
Buck didn't hear him over the chorus of screams from the other campers. He was the size of a full-grown moose and twitching with muscle. Two of his top fangs jutted out over his scaly bottom lip. His nostrils flared as he raised his big head to sniff the air. Stomped across the room, following the scent to the dessert cart. Kids and counselors jumped back. Buck's hungry yellow eyes locked onto the stack of pancakes. He licked his lips and went to take a huge bite.
Buck!
Bo shouted. Buck stopped. He looked past the stack of pancakes and saw Bo. Eyes wide, Buck knocked the cart away with his head and pounced on Bo, leveling him to the ground. Buck licked Bo's face over and over. Bo laughed.
I was looking everywhere for you, Buck. I missed you too.
Sloppy Joe looked at the dessert cart that was now burning in the fire and sighed.
Oh, sorry, kids. No dessert tonight.
The kids groaned and shuffled out of the tent, except for Zeta and Gavin, who watched Bo and his T-Rex with amusement. Bo was being love-attacked by his dino.
Buck, stop it! Bo laughed. Gross, my mouth was open!
Buck licked him a few more times, then raised his head and let out the happiest roar Bo had ever heard.
Rocketeers, I hope you enjoyed that first episode of Camp Dino Season 2, Spring of the Ancients. I'm excited to be back here. I wanted this first episode to just get us back into that camp, get us into that mindset of being back here. Hopefully you're excited about this adventure that I've got planned. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm just excited to be back with these characters. Honestly, I don't care if we just literally hung out at Camp Dino and did nothing but go to classes and eat good food. I would be thrilled. And there might be a lot of that. We'll see what happens. Oh, man. I want to thank Jeremy from HarmoniousIdeas.com for helping edit the audio and my mom, Roxanne Webb, for helping edit the story. And Rocketeers, thank you so much for your feedback. I loved hearing how much you guys really connected with Camp Dino Season 1. I really got into it. I wasn't really anticipating that. My goal with the first Camp Dino was to create a place that felt like a character in and of itself that we wanted to come back to. Because I love stories that have a place like that, where the setting can be a character. And I personally feel that way about Camp Dino. I love this camp. I'm like, man, I want to go to this summer camp. It sounds crazy, but I think it'd be a blast. I hope to continue that into this season. That's absolutely like one of my top priorities. Apart from the other main characters, of course, and we'll explore those dynamics and relationships. but to make sure I don't forget what makes Camp Dino truly magical, and that is the camp itself. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. Please feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening, and be sure to check out the Rocketeer Club. Thank you all so much for your support. Till next time, this is your host, Greg Webb.